Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day with a great decision from the United States Supreme Court. A decision that allows the decision of the Arizona legislature back in 2016 to stand. A decision by the Arizona legislature, a new legislation by that legislature to ban vote harvesting of absentee or early ballots. We will talk about that decision with law professor Stephen Yu coming up. John Yu, pardon me. Coming up, law professor at the University of California at Berkeley. And first up, another decision that hits California very hard and very directly is the decision to funnel more and more and more money into a losing proposition known as Amtrak. To talk about that, I'm very proud to welcome to the show the former head of the Obama administration Auto Task Force, a Wall Street financier, contributing writer to New York Times op-ed, and a economic analyst on Morning Joe, Stephen Ratner. Stephen, congratulations on your great piece about train funding.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for that, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, what a pleasure. First of all, how are things going with this California project to link Bakersfield and Merced initially, which is almost laughable, but eventually to put in $100 billion to try to link San Francisco and L.A. with cutting-edge 19th-century technology?
Yeah, look, I'm not an expert on California, but I have followed it over the years, and it's insane. It's insane. I mean, nobody, I don't know who wants to go from Bakersfield to Merced in the Central Valley of California, and it's obviously going to be 10 years behind schedule and tens of billions of dollars over budget, and so it's an example of what can go wrong, of good intentions gone wrong. I mean, we all want to reduce carbon emissions, and we all want to reduce driving, but this is not the way to do it. It's exactly what we should be worried about with the idea of putting more money into Amtrak across the whole country.
Now, we understand, I think everybody does, that there is a spending compulsion driving the Biden administration. But do they have any serious chance of getting $66 billion more for Amtrak?
Well, that's actually been agreed to, including by the Republicans. The $66 billion number is the number that's in the so-called bipartisan agreement between 10 Democrats and 11 Republicans. And so, yeah, I think it's highly likely they're going to get $66 billion more. And out of the total of $579 billion, which is in this compromise agreement between the two sides, $66 billion of it, as you say, is going to Amtrak. So more than 10% of all of our new spending on Amtrak, on infrastructure, for the next many years is going to be going to Amtrak.
Well, and you make the point in your column in the New York Times, and I think it's a very sound point, that Amtrak is not a total disaster. They have this northeastern corridor, the Acela corridor, running between Boston and Washington, D.C., that tends to actually pay for itself, doesn't it? I mean, that works out okay. Why can't they make the same model work elsewhere?
It does work out well, and in fact, the Northeast Corridor, the Acela Corridor, some people call it, not only makes money, but its share of ridership between Boston, New York, and Washington has been going up, whereas the rest of Amtrak, their share has been going down. And the answer is very simple, because you need to have very large population centers that are very close together, where there's a real urban core to them. And the problem in California is that San Francisco and Los Angeles are much further apart. They're, I think, almost twice as far apart as New York and Washington. And, of course, Los Angeles famously is spread out all over the place. And San Francisco is a small place surrounded by the Silicon Valley and Oakland, all these other places. And so people don't really want to go from the city center of San Francisco to the city center of Los Angeles the way they want to go from the city center of New York to the city center of Washington.
It's also hardly going to rival the airplane transportation because it will take much longer. And apparently the state of California is indicating it's going to only cost more. Would the extra money for Amtrak involve any reduction in the cost to passengers?
No, I don't think so. The extra money for Amtrak is designed to make it go faster. The key to competing with air travel is to get the trains to go faster. That's why when the Acela was introduced in the Northeast decades ago now, it did succeed in cutting the train travel time down from maybe 4 hours when I was a kid to 2.5 hours now, and so people are willing to do that. They're not willing to sacrifice hours and hours to go by train, and so the key is to get the trains to go faster. But what's interesting about the Biden proposal and Amtrak's proposal is they never really talk about making the trains go much faster. That is an even bigger project involving even more money than what they're talking about spending.
Okay, and when you say talking about making the trains go faster, isn't the California thing again supposed to be high-speed rail? And don't the Chinese, and by the way, happy 100th birthday to the wonderful Chinese Communist Party, don't they offer trains that go many times the speed of typical trains on the Amtrak system?
Yes. In fairness, the California proposal would involve very high-speed trains, but it would cost $100 billion relative even to the $66 billion we were just talking about for the whole country. So, yeah, if you're willing to spend $100 billion, you may be able to get very high-speed trains. But the Chinese have a lot of advantages. They don't have the regulatory issues. They don't have the pre-existing infrastructure issues, all the incumbent landowners, all the stuff that we have here. So they have been able to make high-speed trains work in a way that I just think is going to be very, very hard to do in the United States, except between a few very closer together, very densely populated cities like New York, Washington, and Boston.
Right now, there's generally a sense among many on the left that I know you were part of the Obama auto program, but that we really need to look at a car-free future. I don't think you agree with that.
No, and look, but let me be clear. I did work on the auto rescues, you kindly pointed out, but I'm not here to shill for the car industry. I'm here, I do believe that we need to reduce our carbon emissions. I do believe we need to fix the environmental problems. And certainly, you know, in the part of the country you're sitting in right now, how bad these problems have become. But we have to find a way that's practical to do it. And I think trying to get people to take a train from New York to Chicago or Chicago to Los Angeles is not going to work. And we shouldn't go down that rabbit hole because it's going to end badly with a lot of wasted money. And
well,
that's what worries me.
And you point out in your column, it's not just to Los Angeles and Chicago. They are trying to do new lines that will terminate in Duluth and Christiansburg, Virginia, and Cheyenne, Wyoming. Cheyenne, Wyoming, 580,000 people live in the whole state, and it's a big state. Right. Who does that track serve other than tourists?
Yeah. Look, that's one of the problems here as well. That Amtrak plays its politics very well, and politics is a key part of this. And so Amtrak, as we sit here right now, services 46 out of the 48 states in the continental United States. They are proposing the service to Cheyenne, as you say, which would get them to 47 out of 48. It's not a coincidence they're trying to get to 47 out of 48 and maybe eventually to 48 out of 48 because that's how they get political support in Washington. And that's, again, a problem with our system. And I'm not here to shill for the Chinese or the auto industry, but our system, it involves a lot of log rolling. And so money ends up getting spent in places it shouldn't get spent in simply to get the political support it needs to get the allocations.
Now, no matter how good they are at log rolling, I doubt that they will make it to offer Amtrak service to Hawaii. I think that's unlikely.
It's unlikely. That seems unlikely.
Yes. The piece, Why Amtrak Joe Should Pull Back on Train Funding. And by the way, you mentioned some wonderful train movies at the very opening of your piece. I got to add to that list, A Brief Encounter, David Lean movie right after the war. very much enjoy this brief encounter with Stephen Ratner. He is a consistently clear thinker and wonderful writer. Check out his column at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will get to the new Supreme Court decision and a retirement of a conservative significant figure coming up on the MedVed Show.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved. Bed Show, the meltdown of the Board of Elections in New York City continues. It now appears that they're not going to have a winner for the New York mayoralty for the Democratic nomination, even, for 3 weeks, 4 weeks after the election. Everyone, Republican, Democratic, Independent, Martians viewing this, are seeing this as an epic indication of the need for real reform, deep reform in the way that we vote and the way we count our votes particularly. We'll be talking about that tomorrow with John Fund, who's thought deeply and written perceptively about these very issues. The New York situation is just unbelievable. And ranked voting, does that help? Well, we'll get into that tomorrow. Meanwhile, there's a very welcome apology from somebody who's doing the right thing. And I'm very pleased that it happened the way that it did. We spoke yesterday about Representative Jim Walsh, who's a Republican from Aberdeen, right here in the state of Washington. And he's been going through the heat just like everybody else, and we all feel for one another. But he had an experience over the weekend on Saturday when he was speaking to a group of conservative activists who were protesting some of the attempts to press vaccines on people, not to require them, but to press people to get vaccines even when people didn't want them. And to express his sentiments about that, he put on a yellow Star of David, as such as Nazis forced Jews to wear at the early stages of the Holocaust, of the Shoah. In any event, he had actually gone ahead and put a picture of himself wearing the yellow star on Facebook, saying that we are all Jews now. And he meant to say, and some of the people who were with him at the Solidarity meeting said that they were trying to express their support for Israel, not a usual way to do it. In any event, Representative Walsh went right after I spoke about this on the show. He was on the Jason Rantz show. My colleague Jason Rantz, who comes on right after me on our flagship station, AM 770 KTTH, and he said, I apologize for using a profound image in a way that was inappropriate and offensive to so many people. It was wrong. It won't ever happen again. I'm sure it won't. And good for him for coming forward and apologizing. It was inappropriate and offensive, and I'm terribly sorry that it ever happened and that I was part of it, he said on the show. When asked about why he wore the star in the first place, Representative Walsh told Jason, at the event, our intent was to make a signature, make a symbol of the common humanity and frustration. Whenever anyone is objectified and minimized, that intent was just not executed effectively, and it went too far. It's national news. And part of the reason it's national news is it it echoes a mistake, similar mistake, made by Marjorie Taylor Greene. The Georgia Republican, or our QAnon, as you might say, apologized for what she acknowledged were offensive comments in which she compared mask-wearing rules enforced by Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the Holocaust. You know, we can look back in a time in history where people were told to wear a gold star, she said, and they were definitely treated like second-class citizens, so much so that they were put in trains and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi is talking about. Okay, let's acknowledge a couple of things. First of all, what Marjorie Taylor Greene said was enormously worse than Representative Walsh, and it took her a lot longer to apologize, glad she did, than for Representative Walsh. If he would like to talk about any of these issues, or particularly how meaningful it is, and I do think it is, when somebody comes forward right away and acknowledges, I blew that, I did something wrong. I think that's great, and I would love to welcome Representative Walsh to talk about this for a few minutes on our show. There's more. Last week, there was a fit that was thrown in another state legislature, not the Washington state legislature, a much more conservative legislative body, the state legislative house of Ohio. A young female Republican presented an amendment to an Ohio bill, an amendment that would protect biological female athletes from being forced to compete against biological males. Listen to the Democratic reaction to her presentation. This is clip three.
Move to amend with Amendment 1594.
The chair has the amendment. The amendment appears to be in order. The representative may proceed.
Wonderful. The Save Women's Sports Act is a fairness issue for women to be able to achieve their dreams and athletics in our state. And it's crucial to preserving women's rights and the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Across our country, female athletes are currently losing scholarships, opportunities, medals, education, and training opportunities. This amendment will require schools that are part of the OHSAA to designate separate teams for participants of the biological staff. No school interscholastic conference or organization that regulates interscholastic shall permit biological males to participate on athletic teams or an athletic competition designated only for biological female participants.
Okay, does this do credit to our democratic process? Does this do credit to our Democratic Party? I mean, for goodness sake, when you're talking about public schools and you're talking about a federal law that guarantees, we are talking about Title IX of the Civil Rights Act, that guarantees that in any school, you need to, if you're spending money on male athletics, you need to spend money on female athletics in the same amount. Even if there are many fewer women who want to go out for a particular sport or for any sport as compared to men's sports. And first of all, congratulations very much to that the member was able to maintain. Her name's Representative Powell, and no relation that I know of to Sidney Powell, who's something different entirely. Jenna Powell is her name. And this issue and the hysterical reaction to it by the left is an indication of why on cultural issues I don't believe the left is winning. In fact, they're losing. We'll talk about that and the crime rise and what to do about it and the big Supreme Court decision today, all with John Yoo, professor of law at University of California at Berkeley, coming up.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The White House is getting ready to combat the rapidly spreading Delta variant of the coronavirus. At a press briefing Thursday, White House coronavirus coordinator Jeff Zients announced the creation of COVID surge teams.
Today, given what we are seeing with the spread of Delta in some communities in the country, we're intensifying our efforts to help states prevent, detect, and respond to hotspots among the unvaccinated by mobilizing COVID-19 surge response teams to be at the ready to deploy federal resources and, where needed, federal personnel.
Zients said the teams will assist local public health officials with conducting testing and contact tracing and distribute supplies like therapeutic drugs as needed. And the S&P 500 closed at a record high for the sixth straight session, rising 0.5% to close over 4,300 points for the first time. The Dow Jones added 131 points on the day, while the Nasdaq rose a little more than 0.1%. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved show, there are a cluster of stories that involve the intersection of law and politics and this moment of history. And nobody better to talk to about that than a regular on this show and a friend of the show, John Yu, who is a professor of law at University of California at Berkeley. He's also a visiting scholar at the Hoover Institution of Stanford. Combining Berkeley and Stanford, not bad. And also a visiting scholar at American Enterprise Institute. He's the author of 10 books. And Professor Yu, it's a busy time right now. And I want to begin by talking about the surge in crime across the country. There are some liberal voices that say that's just a mirage. It's just a few selected crimes, a few selected cities. Is it more serious than that?
Michael, it's great to be with you again, and I'm sad to say it's not isolated. It's not just a few crimes. It's not just a few cities. We are seeing large increases in killings in major cities around the country. Just take Oakland, California, which once used to be thought of as the murder capital of the United States in the late 70s, and then because of proactive policing, a lot of the strategies used in a lot of other cities, the murder rate started to decline rapidly until the point before COVID. Murders in Oakland is still not good, but it was about 70 a year. This year, in just half a year so far in June, we're already over 65 murders. So we're probably going to have a 100% increase in the murder rate here in Oakland, California. And you're seeing similar numbers, 40, 50, 60% increases in murders in major cities around the country right now.
Okay, when this happened before, when we had an explosion in crime in the late 60s and 1970s, a lot of people blame the fact that judges were letting people out early, releasing dangerous criminals out onto our streets. And this is not about Bill Cosby, but this he's 83 years old. But generally, are we seeing a repeat of that with the changes in the bail rules that are simply turning loose more and more very dangerous criminals?
That's an interesting question. I think you're seeing at least two things are going on. Yes, one is there is this effort to decriminalize different kinds of crimes, and also, as you said, to be more lenient through things like no cash bail, through things as you the things you've pointed out, early release, emptying, trying to reduce prison populations, and so on. And then at the same time, and I think this is in part, I think undeniably because of the Black Lives Matter movement, you are seeing political attacks on police. So another thing that happened in Oakland, this is not that different from other cities, is you had cuts in the police budget. So just while this increase in murders is going on right now, the city council in the last week decided to cut $18 million, 50 police officers from the force at a time when the murder rate is doubling. And you see similar ideas about reallocating police budgets. And then where does the money go? The money goes to these kind of therapeutic approaches to crime, which sound like the 70s and early 80s, as you pointed out, Michael. The things like increased, I can't believe this is true, but in Oakland, the $18 million is going to life coaches and civilian violence interrupters, whatever those are.
The most effective violence interrupter is probably wearing a police uniform. That's part of what you're supposed to do, right? Okay, right now there's also a very significant Supreme Court decision that was handed down today. It was a 6-3 decision with the so-called conservative judges on one side and then Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Stephen Breyer on the other. And this is being decried by liberals as a undermining of the Voting Rights Act and that it's going to suppress the vote for African Americans. As I understand it, what the decision really is about is attempts by Arizona to stop the practice of vote harvesting, of having people who are not family members or not close to you coming and gathering your paper ballots and then taking them in, which has been a source of all kinds of vote fraud across the country, right?
I think that's right. You look at what the court actually said. It looked at two provisions in Arizona law. One was you have to vote in a precinct. You have to vote near where you live. And then the second one was prohibiting third parties from collecting your ballot and delivering it to the election authorities. It doesn't prohibit the post office, doesn't prohibit election officials, and it doesn't prohibit family members, caregivers, people living in the same household from delivering your ballot. So the good thing what the court did here was it said, let's use common sense. Are these reasonable regulations, or are they really efforts to burden the right to vote? And one thing the court said was, look, in Arizona, you have up to a month almost to vote early. You can vote by mail. How is this really burdening your right to vote when the state also has a valid interest to make sure elections are free and fair and are not tinged by fraud or potential problems, as you said, that arise with vote harvesting?
Yeah, and this law was passed in 2016, and then it was upheld by a district court. It was overturned then by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And now the Supreme Court says, no, the law stands. In terms of there's no way that they could claim that this law to which they object had any impact on the election of 2016 or 2020, for that matter. Could they?
No, and in fact, one thing the court says as part of its, let's just use common sense, is they actually looked at, for example, with the voting in your precincts, how many ballots were actually thrown out because people showed up at the wrong precinct. They showed up far away from where they lived and tried to vote. And the court said it's actually just about 1% of votes. And what it also pointed out is that there's not a big difference in racial groups. That's the point. point of all this, this is the Voting Rights Act, the court emphasized, is not some kind of election code for running how every state has to run an election. Every state can, within reason, run elections differently. The Voting Rights Act is to prevent racial discrimination in voting practices. And here the court said, look, when you've got rules which 99% of the electorate seem to understand and follow, we're not going to throw something out like voting by precincts or preventing vote harvesting. These just seem like common sense measures to the court.
Do you agree with me, John Hugh, that we really do need a national bipartisan effort to fix broken aspects of our electoral system? I'm looking at what's happening at New York, which looks like a total meltdown. Are we becoming a third world country in terms of arguments about our elections?
I think there's different ways to go about it. I personally, I do not like this ranked choice voting. We have it out here in California, of course. They're doing it in New York. It seems to be, I think, a disaster. But I agree with you, Mike. I think that the way to do it, I don't think, is to do something like a federal law, like H.R. 1. I think the better thing to do is the way that states often improve their laws is you could have a commission, you could have a study group, and do best practices. What are the things that work best? And some things that fail, let's learn from states that did well. So, for example, I think a great case is Florida, right? We're all familiar with the problems Florida had in 2000. 2016, 2020, you don't hear any of these problems with Florida because Florida overhauled its election laws and has, by all counts, done a pretty good job. Other states should look at that and try to copy them, right? But I still think it's important. The Constitution does still leave much of elections and voting up to the states. Doesn't want to have too much centralization in voting, because that could also lend to a kind of abuse from the federal government, too.
This echoes one of my favorite quotes from the early 20th century. A governor and later Senator Robert La Follette said that every state should serve as a living laboratory of democracy. Thank you for your contributions, John Hugh, to those living laboratories, particularly your own in the state of California. When we come back, is it true that the only opposition to the mayor of Chicago comes from people who are sexist or racist? We'll get to that and more on the MedVed Show.
Knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Just thinking the other day that in our first administration, we made history, and the second, we can change history forever.
And they did. And one of the great things about President Reagan, one of his admirers said that for him, every day was the 4th of July, a celebration of America. And you can have your own celebration of America, not on July 4th, but on July 14th. Which is when I'm going to be speaking at the Reagan Library, an evening presentation on God's Hand on America. I'll be signing books and answering questions and talking about the meaning of divine providence in this country in the modern era. And before that, I'll be broadcasting live this very radio show, noon to 3. A bunch of people have signed up so far. I'm already signing books in advance. And it's totally free, open to you, because we want to talk with you. So come on out and join us on Wednesday, July 14th, at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. It'll be a great occasion. You can find out all about it at our website, michaelmedved.com. Somebody that I admire and like, is a great person to work with and a great person to get to know, is Meghan McCain. And she made an announcement that she is leaving The View, her program on ABC TV, of course, at the end of the season. Why? This is the way she explained it. Clip 11.
Be my last season here at The View. I will be here through the end of July to finish up the season with all of you, which I am grateful for. This was not an easy decision. It took a lot of thought and counsel and prayer and talking to my family and my close friends. And, you know, look, COVID has changed the world for all of us, and it changed the way, at least for me, the way I am looking at life, the way I'm living my life, the way I want my life to look like.
Okay. Okay, one can only hope that Joy Behar will be inspired by her, but there's speculation that Meghan McCain will go on to her own show, perhaps on another network, or she would be a formidable candidate for the United States Senate from Arizona, where her father served in a Senate seat that is now held by a newly elected Democrat, Mark Kelly. And again, I think that Meghan McCain would have a capacity to unite a bunch of Republicans of every stripe together with independents if she decided to do that. Did I say Meghan Kelly? No. Meghan McCain. Oh, yeah. Who could replace her on The View? Yeah, Meghan Kelly. That's a good idea. No, I did not confuse Meghan Kelly and Meghan McCain. Both formidable talents, both different. Speaking of different, there's this from the mayor of Chicago, and I feel sorry for her. She's not responsible for all of Chicago's problems, but she's responsible for not making meaningful progress in coping with them. Here is who she blames for her sinking political fortunes, Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago. Listen.
How much of this do you think might have to do with the fact that you're a woman, and specifically a black woman?
About 99% of it.
Expand on that.
Well, I mean, look at my predecessors. Did people say that Rich Daley held tea sessions with people that he didn't disagree on? Rahm Emanuel was a polite guy who was a uniter? No. Women and people of color are always held to a different standard. I understand that. I've known that my whole life. And the Tribune or whoever can write what they want. What I'm doing is fighting for the residents of the city. I'm an advocate. I'm going to continue fighting.
Okay. This is really one of the problems of critical race theory and the problems of the entire approach of saying, basically, I am a victim. For years on this show, we've used the motto, I am not a victim. Say it, live it, feel it. If you feel victimized, you fix it. You do the best you can. But this idea that, oh my goodness, because I'm a woman and because I'm black and because, yes, she's also lesbian, that because I have these aspects of my background, my personality, that make me unique, look, did that help in her election? It probably did. So do the job and don't make excuses and don't blame any criticism upon you. Because, by the way, those predecessors, Rahm Emanuel, got plenty of criticism. That's why he left the mayoralty. And for the Daley family, it's somewhat different because there it's baronial and it's royal family of Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. But look, being mayor of Chicago is not an easy job, nor is it always an easy job to avoid political correctness. There's a petition that started to criticize and perhaps remove from his job the very popular late-night host, James Corden, because a segment he does called Spill Your Guts on his late-night TV show. And the segment sounds typically like this excerpt with Corden and Jimmy Kimmel. Listen.
You know, when I said we should go out to dinner sometime, this is not what I had in mind.
Well, let's have a look at what we've got here. Oh, my word. So we've got jellyfish just here. We have chicken feet, ghost pepper hot sauce. We have a bull penis, a thousand-year-old egg, which I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah.
A fish smoothie.
Ugh.
Pig blood curd. And a Baloo, which I don't even know really what that is.
I don't know either. Wow, it all looks so terrible. I know people can't smell it, but it doesn't smell
really
good either.
It's really disgusting. Yes. It's horrific.
Okay, this is the segment that he does called Fill Your Guts or Spill Your Guts, where he's going to have to answer some really embarrassing question or eat some of that disgusting stuff. That Baloo is a Philippine dish that is a duck egg that's with a little duck in it, and it's been fertilized. Look, what's happened is he has been taken to task. It says, for years, late-night television comic James Corden has played a food-based truth or dare game And basically, while the segments have received scrutiny in the past, an online petition posted last month has brought renewed criticism that its portrayal of Asian foods as disgusting is harmful. More than 46,000 people have signed a petition asking Mr. Corden to change the food options on the segment or end its run. Everyone is entitled to their opinion on food, said Kim Saira, 24, a Los Angeles activist, of course, who organized the petition and set up a protest last Thursday near Mr. Corden's studio, posing behind a sign that said, "Delicious, not disgusting." My whole point is that James Corden is a white person and is actively using ingredients from Asian cultures and profiting from it and showing it in such a negative light. Okay, so he's done the same thing to haggis and to a fish and chips smoothie, apparently. We'll see where this goes. There will be a lot of people going to a film now being released on video on demand everywhere. It's called Nobody.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
An ordinary suburban family experiences a home invasion robbery that ends up exposing the secret shocking past of the long-suffering dad played by Bob Odenkirk, who keeps insisting he's really just nobody. Now available to rent on multiple streaming services.
There's a long dormant piece of me now awake. I want so very badly to play this out.
And you'll want so badly for these sympathetic characters to survive as they're menaced by an unspeakably brutal Russian-American crime boss played by the convincingly creepy Alexei Serebryakov. The levels of violence are shocking, even excessive, for a well-deserved R rating, and the near superhuman powers of the protagonist become difficult to accept, but you're still rooting for him and for this skillfully made movie. 2.5 stars for Nobody, which is brutal but engaging and strong enough to inspire likely sequel. And on the Michael Medved show, we've got a bunch of movies that we're going to be reviewing tomorrow, including America the Motion Picture, which is billed, as they say, based on actual history. Well, not so much. It's an animated, goofy, frat boy kind of version of the American Revolution. We'll also be reviewing The Forever Purge. This is the fifth in the Purge series, and maybe the best of them. But are they worth seeing? We will get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.